the new heaven and earth will be inhabited by a godly seed. Isaiah 66 and verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. So he said that the seed would remain. Now, he's not talking about a wicked seed or evil seed. He's talking about a righteous seed, a godly seed. So who's going to inhabit this new heaven and new earth? It will be the godly, right? It will be the righteous. It will be those who have washed their robes in the blood of Christ, right? Those will be the ones that inhabit this new heaven and earth. And then the new heaven and earth will be filled with righteousness and not evil. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So the new heaven and the new earth will be filled with.
Welcome to Encourage Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of New Heaven, New Earth. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of New Heaven, New Earth.
Eschatology, which is the study of last things. And we have come to our last message. The last message that we, and just think about all the stuff that we have covered. We've covered a lot of things when you think about it. We've looked at the rapture in depth. We've looked at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, where we talked about the believer's rewards. We've talked about the tribulation. We've talked about the millennium. We've talked about heaven. We've talked about hell. You know, we've gone into all those topics in great detail. And so if you want to know more about it, definitely you can get the notes that we put out as we taught those different topics. But today, so we'll be looking for a new study probably next week. But today we come to the last topic in our series, and we're going to look at the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. You know, what is that all about? You know, I remember when I was little, I wasn't necessarily into the Lord, but you know, when there was a funeral, you know, that was one of the times that you went to church, and I would remember the choir singing, and even sometimes they sing the song today, where they talk about the new Jerusalem. They say, "In that new Jerusalem." And so, what is the new Jerusalem? You know, what is the new heaven? What is the new earth? So that's what we want to look at today, and explore that topic, and see what these things are all about. Now, how is the world going to end? How is the earth going to be destroyed? A lot of people have different thoughts about that. If you look at what we see today, a lot of people will tell you that if we don't make some adjustments in the climate, that, you know, we'll have a catastrophic climate change, and that will destroy the world. Either the world will freeze or it will overheat. A lot of people are saying that is the way that the world is going to end or be destroyed. We've all heard of the talk of nuclear war, that, you know, that's why, you know, there was somewhat of an agreement between nations that they would slow down their development of nuclear weapons. And, you know, we see that some countries have done that and other countries have not. A lot of people would say that this world is going to be destroyed by a nuclear war. We talk about, and we've just seen this, right? a global pandemic. Some people say that there's going to be a pandemic, and you know, we see how, and I don't know about you, but this is the first time in my lifetime that I've ever been a part of a global pandemic, you know, with this coronavirus. And we see what that did to the world. And so a lot of people think that, well, we're just one step away from a pandemic that will just wipe everybody out. And then that's what's going to destroy the world. Some people say there's going to be an ecological disaster or catastrophe. I don't know if you remember the song, and I quoted it a couple Sundays ago in my sermon by Marvin Gaye, Mercy, Mercy Me, Things Ain't What They Used to Be. And he talked about the ecology, right? He talked about mercury and fish. He talked about overcrowded population. He talked about the skies being contaminated. And so some people believe that there'll be this ecological catastrophe that will just take the world out. Some think that there's going to be a global system collapse where all the systems of the world collapse. And from a economic, financial standpoint, the world will no longer be able to survive. And we've heard this next one for years, that there may be a major asteroid that will hit the Earth and just destroy this Earth. And that's how it's going to end. And, you know, I was watching one, and I should have put this one here too. But some people talk about a black hole, that there's a big black hole in the universe that's moving this way and it's just sucking everything up. And that's how the world is going to be destroyed, or the world's going to be an end. A super volcano where we have an explosion of lava that just destroys this Earth. And then we studied a couple of weeks ago about artificial intelligence. And many people think that, you know, this intelligence will become so advanced and that these robots will become so technological in depth that they'll just turn on human beings and destroy this planet. So, you know, let me ask you a question. What's your thoughts? You know, I mean, would you have a tendency to think of one of these things that I just now mentioned as far as how the world will be destroyed? You know, what, you know, have you ever thought about that? You know, I know there's a lot of discussion in all of these areas right here. And it all depends sometimes what your background is or your field of expertise, you know, that you might see one of these things here as being something that will destroy the world. You know, however, saints, as the people of God, and you might say, well, Pastor Glaze, you saying that because you a pastor, you know, because you are a theologian that has studied the Bible. But we see the Bible lets us know how things will end. You know, so I'm not going to put my faith in man and what man concludes. You know, I mean, again, you've heard me say this before. Yeah, we need to take care of the planet. You know, we need to take care of our environment. There's no question about that. But that's not the way the book says that it's going to end. It's not going to end through climate change. You know, it's not going to end through an asteroid hitting us. It's not going to end through some super volcano. You know, so people have come up with all these theories as to how the world is going to end. But my friend, my brother, my sister, let's stick to the book. Let's see what the book says about it. Now, these things that we looked at here, they may impact this world. You know, there's no question about that. Some of these things can impact this world, especially, again, let me go back to that global pandemic. You know, it had a great impact on the world, but that's not how it's going to end. You know, the Bible lets us know how things will end. Jesus said this, heaven and earth shall pass away. All right. So he was very emphatic about that, that the heavens as we know it and the earth as we know it is going to pass away. So there's no question about this, that it's all going to come to an end. Now, praise God. I love what he, and this was the emphasis of what Jesus said. He said his word is eternal, that his word is not going to pass away. So that even if heaven and earth, even when heaven and earth passes away, that the word of God will not pass away. So, you know, we are grateful for that. So we look at the great annihilation. And if you have your notes, you can see where we're headed, that the destruction of the present heaven and earth. We see the record of this annihilation. And we look at two passages that lets us know that this earth will be destroyed, that the heavens will be destroyed. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, it says this, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish." The heavens, they shall perish. "But you remain. They shall wax old as a garment. As a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and your years fail not." The word perish in this passage, the Greek word apolluntai, means to be destroyed, that the heavens will be destroyed. And notice that it also says that they will grow old like a garment, like a piece of clothing. God will either fold them up and put them away, or he'll fold them up and throw them away. So the heavens as we know it will be destroyed. So there's no question about that. So people are right when they say that this world is coming to an end. That's true. It is coming to an end. So that's one verse that lets us know about this annihilation of the heaven and earth. A second verse is found in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So the first time, back in the book of Genesis, when God destroyed the world, we see that he used a worldwide flood, that God used a flood to destroy the earth. Well, the next time, it's not going to be with water. It's going to be with heat. It's going to be with fire. He says that the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat, and the works of the earth shall be burned up. Now notice this word, it says great noise, all right? Now let me break this down for you. Peter says a great noise. The Greek word is horizdon, and this is what is known as, I'm gonna take you back to your English, right? An onomatopoetic expression, and onomatopoetic expression, which means that whatever you're saying what it sounds like. For instance, if you spell out the word S-I-Z-Z-L-E, what's that say? Sizzle, right? And so when you say sizzle, right, that's that you say it and it sounds the same way you say it. So if you were saying that man, the bacon was sizzling on the grill, right? What is that? It's like sizzle, like the bacon is frying, right? Sizzle. So it however you say it is the way that it sounds. And so what Peter is telling us here is that the earth is going to fry. You know, it's going to sound like bacon frying in the pan, that when God destroys this world, he's going to set it on fire, and it's going to fry, and it's going to make a sizzling noise. And so that's one of the reasons why we know that God is going to destroy the earth with fire the next time. And, you know, I often tell people that that's why Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven, because, you know, anything that you lay up on this earth, you know, whatever it is, you know, your house that you worked all your life to pay for, you know, your cars that you paid for and now you take care of, your clothes that you step out and you style and you profile in, you know, all that stuff is going to burn up. You know, no, he said that all the elements will melt with the fervent heat. So they're all going to burn up. Now, you know, I like living in a nice house. I like driving a nice car and I like wearing nice clothes. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, it's like I heard somebody saying that we can have things as long as things don't have us. Oh my goodness. That bears repeating. It's all right to have things as long as things don't have you. I've said it often, and that is, money is a great servant. That if you have money, it's a great servant. It can serve you greatly, but money is a cruel master. That if money is your master, it's a cruel master. And so we need to put things in perspective. And when we put things in perspective, we see that this earth is going to be destroyed. All the things that we have will be destroyed. The only thing that you're going to get out of here with is your soul. That's the only thing you're going to get out of here with is your soul. And, you know, as the old people used to say, any timber that you sent up to heaven to build your mansion, right? You sent that ahead. And so that's there waiting for you. But anything down here that you have is going to be destroyed. And so there's no question, you know, we can go back and we can look at this right here and say, it's not going to be climate change. It's not going to be a nuclear war. Now, some people might try to argue the point that that God was describing a nuclear war, but I don't think that's the case. Global pandemic, ecological catastrophe, global system collapse, major asteroid. Somebody might say, well, you know, that's what God was describing. No, I don't think that, you know, that's what he was describing. Super volcano. Somebody might say, well, that's what he was describing. No, I don't agree with that. Artificial intelligence, that it's not going to be any of these ways that God is going to set this world on fire. And that is how it will be destroyed the next time. So we see the great annihilation. Now we see the record of this annihilation, right? Now let's look at the rationale or the reason. You know, why is God going to annihilate and destroy this this world, this heaven and this earth? Well, if you think about it, the present heavens and earth have been tainted by sin, right? Heaven and the heavens have been tainted by sin. That's Lucifer, right? He sinned in heaven. Now, again, I don't necessarily think that where God, the manifest presence of God is going to be the place that's destroyed. But we know that that Satan sinned, and we know where he sinned at. And earth, and now some people will argue the fact that, well, Satan, you know, he was in the garden of God, which was Eden. And so he sinned on this earth. So, you know, that would be an argument for the fact that Satan, you know, was not in heaven when he sinned. So, you know, that's up for debate. But this world, this earth has been tainted by sin. As a matter of fact, you know, Romans talks about creation groaning, right, because of sin. So this creation, this world is groaning because of sin. And human beings have committed evil acts. Therefore, and so now, saints, here is the big debate, all right? So I'm going to let you know the big debate, that when God destroys it and, you know, he recreates it. Now, Is he going to just purge what we have and just recreate that? Or is God going to just wipe it all out and start all over again? So I just want to let you know, in theological circles, that is the big debate. God is going to, he's going to destroy it by fire, but will he leave, like a purification, and then he's going to start from there and just recreate everything? Or is he just going to wipe it all out and then start from scratch all over again? So that's the debate that's going on. And so we saw the great annihilation. Now let's look at the grand anticipation. And the grand anticipation is the fact that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible is very clear that there will be a new heaven and new earth. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 22, we see that the new heaven and earth will be free from the bondage of corruption. For we know that the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now. So in Romans, Paul lets us know that God is going to redeem this creation. He's going to, he talks about that in Romans chapter 8 or 7, excuse me, Romans 7 and verse 23. He talks about the redemption. He talks about the redemption of our bodies, and he talks about the redemption of creation. So God is going to wipe out this creation as we know it, that's in bondage to corruption. The new heaven and new earth will be so awesome that they will not be remembered. In Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. Isn't that awesome? That when you think about the fact that God is, that this new heaven and new earth will be so stunning that the current heaven and earth will not even be remembered. And you know, man, just think, so many people are rooted and their hearts are in this earth and things of this earth. You know what? We got to see ourselves. Oh, I'm getting ready to preach. I'm going to stop teaching now, and I'm going to preach. We got to see ourselves as pilgrims, right, on this earth. As a matter of fact, let me read, and I didn't have this one in my notes. Let me see if I can find it in Hebrews chapter 11. And we see in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Abraham, right? And in verse 8, it says that when he was called to go to a place that he should receive for an inheritance, that he obeyed and he went out and he didn't even know where he was going. It says, by faith, he lived in the land of promises in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. But look at this right here. It says, for he looked, this is shouting grounds now, saints. We're getting ready to shout now. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so we see that.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of New Heaven, New Earth. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, New Heaven, New Earth, you can contact us at inkirkandjesus.org and request New Heaven, New Earth. That's inkirkandjesus.org and request New Heaven, New Earth from our Bible prophecy series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the midst of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.